Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 38, Treatment of Hypertensive Emergencies. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode38. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The Pharmacy Nation Slack group is a free group with other pharmacists from around the world collaborating with each other using real-time messaging to help better care for patients. Over the past week, we've been talking about things like overlapping warfarin and heparin when treating AFib, whether to use ideal body weight or actual body weight when dosing dexmedetomidine, and colistin dose calculations. I invite you to join me and the over 100 other Pharmacy Nation members there. You can sign up at pharmacynation.org. Today's episode topic is being presented at the request of another Pharmacy Joe who left this message on pharmacyjoe.com about using clonidine for hypertensive emergencies.
Hey, Pharmacy Joe, this is Joe Jeffries at Barnesville Hospital. Wondered if you had anything new on hypertensive emergencies. One of our internists is worried that our ER is overusing clonidine. He thought it could cause a rebound effect and shouldn't be used that way. So let me know.
Thanks, Joe. If you'd like to call in a topic request, use the SpeakPipe widget at the end of the show notes or at pharmacyjoe.com/contact. This may be splitting hairs with the definition, but I'd avoid clonidine or any other oral medication in a hypertensive emergency. I'd reserve clonidine for the treatment of acute asymptomatic hypertension. Clonidine is just a short-term Band-Aid solution for acute hypertension, as it should not be continued long-term. I was unable to find any studies describing a rebound effect from stopping clonidine within the first few days of use, but there is such an effect seen occasionally with dexmedetomidine, another alpha agonist, as early as after 24 hours of treatment. So I suppose it would be possible for your internist to have seen some patients experience a rebound effect after clonidine. In this episode, I'll cover treatment strategies for hypertensive emergencies. A hypertensive emergency is present when severe hypertension is associated with acute, ongoing, end organ damage. Severe hypertension in the absence of end organ damage used to be called a hypertensive urgency, but is now referred to as acute asymptomatic hypertension. Whether treating a hypertensive emergency or acute asymptomatic hypertension, an excessive hypotensive response is potentially dangerous and may lead to ischemic complications such as stroke, myocardial infarction, or blindness. End organ damage is typically found in the form of neurologic, cardiac, vascular, or renal damage. The general goal of treatment for most hypertensive emergencies is to achieve a 10 to 20% reduction in systolic blood pressure in the first hour and an additional 5 to 15% reduction in blood pressure in the first 24 hours. There are two notable exceptions to this general goal. Number one, in the acute phase of ischemic stroke, the blood pressure is usually not lowered unless it's greater than 185 over 110 in a patient who is eligible for alteplase therapy, or greater than 220 over 120 in patients who are not eligible for alteplase therapy. And the exception number two is in acute aortic dissection, the systolic blood pressure is rapidly lowered to a target of 100 to 120 within 20 minutes. Let's review each type of hypertensive emergency and the ideal agents to use in each case. First, we'll take neurologic emergencies. The most frequent neurologic hypertensive emergencies are ischemic stroke, hemorrhagic stroke, head trauma, and hypertensive encephalopathy. For ischemic stroke, use IV labetalol or nicardipine to achieve a blood pressure less than 185 over 110 if the patient is eligible for alteplase, or less than 220 over 120 if they're not alteplase eligible. For hemorrhagic stroke, treatment of acute hypertension in this setting is a delicate balance between the risk of reducing cerebral perfusion and the benefit of reduced bleeding. IV labetalol or nicardipine are my preferred medications for these patients. In head trauma, hypertension is usually treated in this setting only if the cerebral perfusion pressure, which is the mean arterial pressure minus intracranial pressure, is greater than 120 and the intracranial pressure is greater than 20. I use IV mannitol for these patients. Now, hypertensive encephalopathy is a diagnosis of exclusion. You won't know your patient had hypertensive encephalopathy until you lower their blood pressure and see their mental status rapidly improve. If you're suspecting this condition, I'd start with IV nicardipine. Let's move on to cardiac hypertensive emergencies. The most frequent cardiac hypertensive emergencies are acute left ventricular dysfunction with pulmonary edema and acute coronary syndrome. So for the acute heart failure or left ventricular dysfunction patients, use IV loop diuretics and nitroglycerin. Avoid hydralazine as it increases cardiac work, and avoid beta blockers as these decrease cardiac contractility. In acute coronary syndrome, use IV nitroglycerin, nicardipine, or esmolol to reduce the underlying coronary ischemia and or increased myocardial oxygen consumption and to improve outcomes in these patients. Now, there's two types of vascular hypertensive emergencies, and these would be acute aortic dissection and risk to suture lines in a patient with hypertension status post-vascular surgery. For aortic dissection, remember the goal is to lower the systolic blood pressure rapidly to a target of 100 to 120 within just 20 minutes. Use IV nitroprusside or clavitopine to accomplish this. For risk to vascular suture lines after vascular surgery, I'm not aware of any studies comparing agents to use in this scenario. I'd use IV nicardipine or labetalol in these patients. As far as renal hypertensive emergencies, severe hypertension may cause acute hypertensive nephrosclerosis. Antihypertensive therapy often leads to worsening kidney function, sometimes requiring dialysis, although this is sometimes reversible in these patients. Phenoldepam, if available, may be a useful antihypertensive in this setting since it is associated with a temporary improvement in renal function. Phenoldepam is not available at my institution, however. Now, there are some other causes of hypertensive emergencies, and these are sympathetic overactivity and pregnancy. Sympathetic overactivity may be caused by withdrawal of antihypertensives, ingestion of sympathomimetic agents, pheochromocytoma, or autonomic dysfunction. Unless a beta blocker was recently withdrawn, administration of a beta blocker alone is contraindicated in these settings, since inhibition of beta receptor-induced vasodilation can result in unopposed alpha-adrenergic vasoconstriction and a further rise in blood pressure. if the patient is in withdrawal from clonidine, oral clonidine will begin to lower the blood pressure within an hour and is the only scenario I'd use an oral antihypertensive in a hypertensive emergency. Oral beta blockers are too slow to work. If the patient is in withdrawal from a beta blocker, use other IV antihypertensives while the beta blocker is taking its effect. Now, examples of ingested sympathomimetic agents are cocaine, amphetamines, and the tyramine-monoamine oxidase inhibitor interaction. For these patients, IV phentolamine, if available, or nitroprusside can be used. Pheochromocytoma can also produce severe hypertension and acute target organ damage. Use IV nitroprusside, phentolamine, or nicardipine if a hypertensive emergency presents before adrenalectomy can be performed. Acute spinal cord injury, or Guillain-Barré syndrome, is occasionally associated with hypertensive emergency. For these patients, use IV phentolamine, again if available, or nitroprusside. In pregnancy, the antihypertensives that you can use for hypertensive emergencies are IV magnesium sulfate, hydralazine, or labetalol. I wanted to talk for a moment about clavidipine. Clavidipine is not on formulary at my institution, and I have no experience working with this medication. Looking at the very limited published data on clavidipine, I'd be extremely concerned about over-rapid correction of hypertension with clavidipine and wouldn't consider using it for anything I don't already consider using nitroprusside first line for. With the recent price increase of nitroprusside, it looks increasingly likely that clavidipine will make its way onto formulary at my institution. If you have experience with clavidipine, I'd love to hear about it. Send me an email or a voicemail over at pharmacyjoe.com/contact. I do have a few extra references linked at the bottom of the show notes for today's episode at pharmacyjoe.com/episode38 for treatment of hypertensive emergencies. And I'm very close to finishing my course on how to start a medical podcast so that other medical professionals can bring their knowledge, expertise, and voice to the world of podcasting. To learn more about the course and to sign up to be notified when it is available, head over to howtostartamedicalpodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.